I would appreciate your prayers this morning that the Lord would have his way and would give us some of his word. I've been thinking about something God longs for in his heart. Did you know God has a heart too? He has some deep inner reaches that longs for some things just like we do. And that's a whole lot why he made us. God has everything that he made. But most of it he just made. But some of it he made, us in particular, he made that has a choice in the matter. And I know we've heard some of these things before, maybe all of them many times, but I want us to think about the relationship of love and trust that God wants us to have in our life with him. It affects so many things in our lives. I was thinking about a crepe myrtle that my wife's father gave her over 20 years ago. And we planted that little bush as a little bush out in the front of our yard, and that thing began to grow, and every once in a while, every winter, every fall, whenever it is, Rosie cuts that thing back down, and sometimes I've wondered, will this thing come back out again, because it's really chopped down. But you know what, today, that thing is big. There's a number of trunks coming up from that. Probably around 4 inches a piece. One of them across is maybe 5 to 6 inches or so. And I looked up to see, is a crepe myrtle a bush or a tree? Because it used to be a bush and now it's a tree. and I was like, wow, that's amazing. What is a crepe myrtle anyway? And what I read on the internet was, I typed that in. It said, what's the difference between a crepe myrtle tree and a crepe myrtle bush? The only difference is the mature size. And so we planted it as little spindly things. And now it's big. And now it reaches up and out and over our walkway in the summer. And it's full of blossoms when other things aren't blossoming a lot of times. It's a beautiful tree. You know, our life is kind of like that. We're planted in the Lord as a start. And we get saved and we repent of our sins and something begins. And it's little and it's a start. And there's no way for it to be a mature size yet. It can't be. It's born. It's started. But you know, the Lord wants our life to become like that tree. He wants it to go beyond the bush size, and he'd like for it to be something that really produces a whole lot of whatever it's made to produce. And you know, I believe that there's something in the heart of God that He longs to see that progression and that growth. And so when I see things like that, I can't help but get a spiritual perception of things again and again and again. And you know, this morning I want to talk about mainly trust. We've heard about love a lot at times, and we love that because it made the difference in our life, hasn't it? It's the difference really between our lives and an unregenerated life. Somebody that doesn't know the Lord can't experience love in the same way that we can. It's just impossible, because when you have the giver of love living in your soul and in your heart, there's something very different about that. And you know, this morning, the Lord wants that, as we've said already, to grow and to blossom. And to grow and to blossom and to grow and to blossom. And he's going to trim it back and he's going to prune it and he's going to do things. And you know what? She prunes it now, and it's way over my head where she prunes it to now. It used to be way down where it was like maybe a couple feet tall or 18 inches or something like that. And it was like, is this thing going to grow? But you know what? Now then, I know it's going to grow. I know what happens to it. When it's time for it to produce, it produces. Because it's got roots, it's got a trunk, it's got strength. It's got years, and I can see that it's producing. You know, the Lord wants our life to be like that. And as we come into a relationship with the Lord, it is the natural thing for us to go from that spindly little start to something that is full and blossoming and entire. The Lord wants it to be that way. And I want to encourage us this morning to see the finished product in us. It'll never totally finish, but to see the mature level that the Lord wants to bring us to. And to recognize, that's where I'm going. That's where I'm going. I'm not just in this to make the day. I'm not just in this to get through life here for a little while. I'm in this to become what God wants me to become. I'm in this to become mature and useful and fruitful. And so let's see that. Let's see that picture in our mind that it's more than the battle of today, something God has for us, and something that God loves. And you know how it's produced in us? It's produced, I want to just mention, there's a lot of things, but I want to mention a few. But you know, there's an experience of complete submission to God that's a big part of this. Complete submission to God. He brings you into places. The scriptures tell us in the day of prosperity to be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. That's in Ecclesiastes 7. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. You know, the Lord put all those things in there. Excuse me. And in all of those times and stages, the Lord wants our life to grow. In the midst of all of that, in the midst of prosperity, in the midst of adversity, He expects our life to continue to grow in strength. He wants our life to continue to grow in height and in depth and in understanding and in knowledge and in trust in the Lord. He wants our life to do that. You know, there's an element of trust in God that is so valuable for you and I. It's an element that it's part of this walking with the Lord, where we begin to know Him and we begin to trust Him. And anything that He would ask of us or anything that He would tell us, we would open our arms to and say, yes, Lord. Because you see what a relationship with God that He would long for in that way. You see how that would please the Lord? This is my child. This is my bush. This is my, and I have a real live relationship with this child, and he's growing and she's producing. And you know what? And I can put whatever I want to in their life and they'll grow by that, those things. Can we accept that? That the Lord does that on purpose? The scriptures say the trying of your faith worketh patience. And it says to let patience have her perfect work. You know, there's a great work that the Lord wants to do in our souls and in our lives. But we have to let and allow God into all the places of our life in order for that to happen. And then what happens? I never saw the tree grow. But I just noticed it was bigger. And I noticed it was taller and fuller. And all of, you know what? That's just what happens, isn't it? So this morning, I want to read a little bit here about Abraham. Because we read the story of Abraham, Genesis 12. We read the story of Abraham and we find there a man that God loved, he was impressed, he enjoyed his time with Abraham. And he was called the friend of God. And so you see this here in Genesis 12 and 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Has the Lord ever said that to you? I want you to get up and get out of here. I'm going to tell you where you're going to go. You're not going to know before you get there. I just want you to get up and go. You know what? That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And you know, because of this faithful man, Jesus Christ came through this lineage, didn't he? And we have that. And we are blessed today from those things. But you know, the Lord told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you. And so I want to look over here at Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Now, if that wasn't enough to get up and go, in verse 5 of 22, we've all heard this read, most of us, so many times, haven't we? But listen to this one more time. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, what had God told Abraham to do? He said in verse 2, he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Wow. I don't know about you, but that would stagger my faith. I don't believe God's going to ask any of us to do that in this day. But you know what? We find here a man that in the third verse it says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. And so we find a man that trusted God. He believed when God said something. And he took it to the utmost place. And he obeyed God. And I want to encourage us this morning, folks, if we want our life to grow in depth, we love the love of God. We trust Him really because we love Him, don't we? Principally. But you know what? The Lord longs for that kind of a relationship with you and me. And I want to encourage us this morning that we just throw open our arms to God and say, Lord, please do. Please do. Whatever is in your mind and in your heart, please do. And have no resistance to that. It's part of our growth. It's part of our walk. It's part of if He chastens us. What did we read about the song a while ago? Chastened by the rod and it makes honey to flow. Well, it's nothing. It's grievous at the time, isn't it? But it brings about desired things in our lives. Let's don't step back from the Lord at any place in our life. In verse 5, now we read, and Abraham told the servants, was it? He said, abide ye here as young men, abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I'm going to go offer him for a burnt sacrifice and I'm going to come again because that's what God promised me. I'm going to do His will and He's going to perform His. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now listen to this. The heart of God has some understanding too, doesn't it? Just like we do. "Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." You know what? The Lord visited Abraham here, didn't he? You know what? We miss it, folks, if we fail to put ourselves in God's hands in every way God asks us to do. And so we miss the blessings that the Lord has for us. Here, the angel spoke to Abraham again. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham, verse 15, Genesis 22, out of heaven the second time, and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord." What more could he use but himself? "For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And you know, this morning, when the Lord blesses, who can hinder? You know, the scripture says in Genesis, the first chapter, we've been reading a little consistently through into Genesis, the first chapter, and the 22nd verse says, "And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth." Do you know when God blesses something? It's blessed. When God blesses something and says, "Be fruitful," or when God blessed Abraham and said, "You're going to be blessed," he was blessed, wasn't he? Do you know that's what the way it is with the Lord? And I want to encourage us to have a relationship with the Lord like that, where that we in our time, in our days, in the things God wants of us and requires of us, sometimes he does. Why did he require this of Abraham? Look at the relationship that was formed through it. God had such a plan in mind for Abraham. And had Abraham said, "Lord, you told me that I can't do that. There's no way." We do that, don't we, if we're not careful? We can do that. And you know what? What a mistake, a grievous mistake it is. The Lord is looking to grow us from a little twig into a tree. A fruitful, blessed tree. Let's let him do it this morning. Let's just ask him, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" He didn't ask Abraham to go do something Abraham didn't know what to do. He knew exactly what God wanted him to do. I believe that this morning. We must know what God wants us to do. That's not something totally that I believe somebody else can always tell us. We must know what God wants us to do. But I want to tell you something. The way we know what God wants us to do is to develop a live relationship with him. Walk with him. Grow with him. And then when that time comes that we need to know what to do, God will show us what to do. like he did with Abraham. Abraham was a friend of God. You know, this morning, I believe that the Lord wants that kind of a walk with us. Let's walk with the Lord like that and allow him to be in our life in that way. Let's let ourselves grow and let ourselves, I think what we'll find is, we'll find the blessing that came on so many others. Over in Jeremiah 17. You know, it has something here that is really valuable to us. I'm going to read part of this and come back and read another part. But in 17 and 7, it says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord." Now, folks, that's a condition of the heart. It's a condition of life where we trust in God. We truly trust in the Lord in our heart and life, and we truly take His way. I believe that's what that means. And, you know, there's so many things we can trust in. The scriptures say some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Well, what a strange thing. What about the horses and chariots? You know what? We'll trust in the name of the Lord our God. And they did. And God blessed them over and over. And, you know, he tells us, don't trust in uncertain riches. Don't trust in those things. Enjoy richly all the things God allows us to have and be liberal with that. But don't trust in it. Don't make that your stay. I've got plenty. And believe me, I'm going to fight for it. And I'm going to, it's going to carry me through. What a mistake. The Lord might not like that. He might not want that. He wants our heart to trust in Him. And if we do that, then He can do anything He wants in our life. And it'll be okay. The Lord help us this morning. I think about those things and the blessing of the Lord. And I want to turn, and I'll come back to this place. Let's see, I was going to read 7 and 8. It says here, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Do you know that's what trusting in the Lord is? He's my hope. He is my hope. He is the reason that I can believe. He is the reason that I can have peace in the midst of trouble. Because I know it's going to be all right. God's on my side. As long as I'm on His side, I'm on a good side. Then if I'm on His side, then it's going to be okay, isn't it? Well, and it goes on to say, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river." We studied about roots a little while back, didn't we? But this is the way this man is going to be, whose hope the Lord is. Lord, I long for you in my life. Lord, teach me. Lord, make me into that tree that has size and beauty and produces fruit. Make me into that tree. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh." There's something about this kind of person that when the heat comes, it's not going to affect his growth. He's going to keep on growing. You know what? Partly because his roots have went on down. They're drinking below the surface. It's all right if it's dry up top. I'll get it from down below. You know what? Then it goes on to say, "Shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit." That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? I like the fact that trees can be rooted in such a way that they produce fruit every year. I went to Honduras one time, and there was this big, what was it, a papaya tree that we went over and saw. It was late at night, huge tree. And I asked him, "How long's this thing?" It was planted in the sand. There wasn't anything else around it. And I was sitting there thinking, now what's this tree drinking for nutrition? You know, here it is. But you know what? That tree had been there a long time and produced a lot of fruit every year. And big, nice fruit. And they showed us, and shared some with us and all of that. You know, that's the picture the Lord would like for us to have in our mind. Let God work in our life. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I want to look over here in 1 Chronicles 21. There's a little story here. Of King David. He got a little proud, a little self-sufficient or whatever. And it says, chapter 21 and 1 of 1 Chronicles. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Now, you know, the Lord numbered coming through the desert. He had all those tribes numbered and all of that. What was the difference here? I think there was a big difference. It says, and David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go, number Israel. Now here was a very successful man. And he said, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. And Joab answered, the Lord. Now Joab wasn't always that great of a guy. But he said, the Lord makes his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my Lord the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then doth my Lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David. And all they of Israel were 1,000,000. How many is 1,000,000, children? Is it 1,000,000? Were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men that drew sword. So there was 1,100,000 that drew the sword. And Judah was 410,000 men that drew sword. So David felt like he was sitting pretty good. You know, that's quite a bit more than Gideon had, wasn't it? When the Lord said, send them home. Tell all of them that are afraid to go home. I don't want you trusting in this army. Send them home. So most of them went home, didn't they? And then, so there's too many still. Let's get them down to 300. And that's what he did, wasn't it? That defies reason and common sense. Accept that. The Lord was working here. And so, we find here, and the Lord blessed Gideon, didn't he? But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. Joab didn't even count everybody. He just couldn't do it. It was just like, this is too much. I can't believe the king's doing this. Was he proud? Was he just trusting? Was he trying to see how much he had to go against the enemy with? And discounting the hand of God or what? Well, some reason it was very distasteful to Joab and to the Lord. And God was displeased, verse 7, with this thing. Therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. Have you ever done foolishly? I want to tell you something. The whipping from the Lord don't always stop till he's done. David, he said, I've done foolishly. I wished I hadn't done that, but he got something coming, didn't he? And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, choose thee either 3 years famine or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes while that the sword of thine enemies overtake thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I'm in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man. Do you know this morning, David paid a pretty big price for his pride, didn't he? And for his trust in his own arm. And I just want to encourage us this morning, folks, let's get close enough to the Lord that He can teach us His ways, that He can teach us His thoughts, that He can share with us His thoughts, that we can fear Him and love Him and obey Him in the face of death. We want to do that, don't we? Does that sound too much? I don't think so. We want to fear the Lord. We want to serve Him under all conditions. When the hand of prosperity is upon us, we love that, don't we? And then a little wind blows on us and we feel like we're going to blow away. Folks, the Lord wants our roots to be deeper and our trunk to be fatter and bigger and our fruit to be more and better and not in the day of heat to be failing us. The Lord wants that, doesn't He? But you know, that is formed through a relationship with God that happens slowly. And I want to encourage us to build that relationship with the Lord. Because the Lord wants us to come to a place where truly we can throw our arms out and say, Lord, anything. You deal in my life, and that's what I'm asking You to do. I want You to do that. I want Your hand to be in my life. I want Your hand to deal. I want You to bring the things into my life that I need. Does that mean, here comes affliction? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe great prosperity. He did for Abraham. But whatever it is, it'll be a blessing. And it'll be good. And it'll help get us to heaven. But if we refuse, and if we don't allow God His work in our life, and we won't trust in Him, folks, I want to tell you something. There's a penalty to pay for that. David found that his own thoughts, pride, arrogancy, trust in himself and his own armies, and he was great at going out before the enemy. But it was all the Lord. And when it got to be otherwise, God required it of him, didn't He? And the Lord took a bunch of those men over that. And you know, this morning, the Lord help us. I think about the scripture. It says in Psalm 42 and 11, listen to this. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. That's the kind of relationship God wants to build with us. Hope thou in God. Why am I disquieted? Well, the writer of this, who was it? Was it David? I don't know who the writer was, but I will tell you what they had found out, that their hope was in God. And so they asked themselves, why are my emotions all down? Why is my soul all bothered here? Why am I cast down? Hope thou in God. Folks, we can hope in the Lord. We can always hope in the Lord, can't we? Will He take care of us? Yes, He will. If we blindly follow Him, if we open our arms to Him and rush into His arms, Lord, I just want Your will. And you know what? He'll lead us too. He doesn't ask us to do things that we don't understand and can't. He asks us to do things that we know what He's asking us to do. And then we have to be willing to do that, don't we? That kind of a relationship with the Lord is what God will teach us and lead us through and build our faith upon. But what happens is many times we don't build that relationship. And so when the battles come, we don't even hear the voice of the Lord. So the error is to begin with, folks, to build with the Lord a relationship of love and trust. Take the time to talk with the Lord. Take the time to walk with the Lord. Take the time to open your Bibles and ingest that good food. And I know many of us here do. You know what, folks? I thank the Lord for His work in our lives this morning. The Lord help us that we all just grow and find more of that. Now, we were back there in, Jeremiah 17. You know, when we trust in ourselves as David did, it don't go well. When we trust in whatever we trust in, it don't go well. In verse 6, verse 5 says, "For thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Do you know when we know what the Lord wants us to do, He expects us to do it. When our heart departs from the Lord to do things that God, we know God wants us to do, we err. And the Scriptures say, cursed is that man. There's an error there. And it says here, "And maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see." "And shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." But it goes on to say, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." So I just want to encourage us this morning that we put our hope in God, that we put our trust in God, and that we learn to trust Him. Learn as a tender vine, and the Lord will lead us along. And He's not going to dump us out on our head, folks. He's going to teach us, and He's going to help us. And the things that He allows His people, folks, those things cause us to have growth, don't they? They cause us to have fruit. They cause our life to be blessed. You know, we many times mention that verse in Psalms 1:1, where it says, "Blessed." That's the same word, that's the same Hebrew word written in Psalms 42 that we read that said, the one in Psalms 4 says, 1:1-4 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." That word blessed means happy. It's intense. It's more than just blessed, blessed. It means happy. Do you know that's what God wants our life to be on the inside? He says, "Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be," again, this is a different place, "he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." I believe there's a place in the Lord that He wants to take us to that only grows sweeter and bigger and more useful. It doesn't mean you have less battles or trials, but it means the inside, the growth of the soul, the walk with the Lord, the trust in the Lord, the love for the Lord has grown. And it's not going to be displaced then by a little bit of trouble. It's not going to be displaced with fear of death. It's going to be there, isn't it? That word, blessed, in there actually means happiness. It's from a word that means happiness, only in masculine plural anyway. How happy, blessed, or happy. That's what the word means. Psalms 84:11, I'll just read a few others here. "For the Lord God is a sun and shield." Now we know what sun is to us. The Lord God is a sun, S-U-N, and shield. "The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. O taste and see," Psalm 34 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man." Here's that same word again. "Happy is the man that trusteth in Thee. And so one other place, Psalms 100. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. You know, this morning, the Lord wants that, doesn't He? Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Let's allow the Lord those places in our life. And I will tell you, I believe the Lord will bring about the fruit. It comes many times at the pruning of our own thoughts of why, of our own thoughts of dissatisfaction with whatever is in our life or whatever trial we have. The Lord doesn't want it to be that way. He would like for us to open our arms to all that God allows in our life and say, Lord, as Paul did, when the Lord told him, you're just going to have to bear with this, Paul. And so he said, well, you know, if that's the case, then let it come. I'm paraphrasing, of course. You know, I believe that's a safe place for us to be in this morning. Oh, the Lord help us. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves, folks. We're the sheep of His pasture. We're His people. We're His people and the sheep of His pasture. You see the terms that's being used there that tells us what the Lord wants to be with us? Is this just a beautiful story? I don't think so. This is a life. This is a thing that God wants to put in our life. The great God of heaven wants there to be some folks that only want Him. Only want Him. Not His blessings, Him. And then, folks, He's promised to give us all that we need that has to do with life and godliness. The Lord will do those things for us. You pray for me that I can forever keep these things in mind. I want to live this way myself, and I want to be faithful to it. I want to see the inside of heaven. I think most all of us here want to see the inside of heaven. I believe the Lord wants us to get there, and He wants us to have some good things along the way in our boughs, our fruit, our limbs, our roots. He wants them to be healthy. You can walk by a plant, and many times you can just look at it. You can know whether that plant's healthy or not. Well, let's don't blame God if it's not healthy. God wants us all to be healthy. Pray for me.